to Neil Coolong, the great man, talking about the Steelers. My friend, welcome back.
I'm happy to be here as always. It's been a rocky couple days, but I knew I had this to look forward to. So here we go. Let's get it on.
All right. So let's get to it. How much is it the offensive line?
Is it possible for it to be all of both?
It can be because I think right now we're looking at a quarterback that for one of the few times in his career, because of his offensive line, has become gun-shy.
Yeah, absolutely. That to me is 1,000% true, and that's what the problem is. And he is that way whether or not there's pressure coming. And through four games, I'm comfortable saying that. I didn't necessarily believe that when I saw it, but I think I said last week, I honestly felt against Cincinnati, he forgot what down it was when he dumped off to Najee Harris. Then he did it again. It was, okay, you know, this isn't a coincidence anymore. He's not thinking fully through everything that he's seeing. And a lot of that is going to be confidence. He looks like a scatterbrained rookie when he's playing now. He's not making decisive plays. I mean that to say that's every time. The touchdown pass he threw on, the fifth or sixth play of the game, the one to Deontay Johnson, he played like Ben Roethlisberger. He stepped up in the pocket. He moved a little bit. The protection was there initially. You're not going to get 10 seconds of protection. So he had to evade a little bit, and he kept his eyes down the field. And he made a play, probably because he knew he had a single coverage situation on the outside. He loves that. He won't go away from that. But if it's anything short, if it's anything to the middle of the field, comeback routes, things like that, he's not pulling the trigger on that at all. He's taking a look at the defense pre-snap. He's getting the ball, and he's dumping it off. And it kind of negates the purpose of playing so much out of shotgun. If you're going to do that, if you want to keep your eye on the defense for that long, take a look around. You can't be seeing a lot of what we're seeing a nanosecond later. Things are opening up. That should be visible to an NFL quarterback. He's not doing it, and that's a significant point of concern in my mind. He's not going to be able to play successful football being as short as he is now. And I don't know if they want to make a change in that regard. Clearly, Mike Tomlin said today they're not going to. I have 100 different reasons of why they're not going to. You're not going to get good play at your quarterback position, though. And I'm not sure Mason Rudolph makes that any better, but it's not good. And this really just kind of fits in the mold of what we sort of thought this team was going to be. They're not going to be all that competitive. They've got to get better in a lot of areas, and quarterback is certainly one of them. But that, to me, was a high watermark for this offensive line. Game against Green Bay, a hobbled unit, not all that great anyway, but pretty beaten down by injuries. I thought they protected pretty well. I thought they did a good job in this game. It's a 180 from what we've seen the last 2 weeks. So if you're moving in that direction, I think there's more that you might be able to do. But he's making it tough to believe that, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll get back to Ben in a moment. It's my opinion the Steelers' offensive lines, which have been okay the last few years, but have not been to the same level since Mike Munchak left. Is that fair?
Absolutely. I think it's fair. There are a couple things with that, too. One, we've talked about this way back in the day. We go back into our dusty old archives. Mike Munchak is still, at worst, among the best position coaches in the NFL. He's a genius. Every player you talk to, every other coach you talk to says the same thing about him. He brought something to that unit that, you know, I don't think there are many people around ever who could. Along with that, though, he had some pretty high-level talent working for him within their prime. You had Maurkice Pouncey. You had David DeCastro coming off of – or Pouncey was – excuse me, Pouncey was coming off of an injury at that point. DeCastro was going into his second year or his third year, which would have been his second – full-time. He missed most of his rookie season. They were a building unit. They needed parts to fit in around that. They needed a new scheme, and they were able to overhaul that group largely in one offseason. They brought in some other players, and Munchak got a hold of them, worked with them through camp. They were a dominant unit in 2014. Munchak gets a large chunk of the credit of that. That's not going to happen this time, in case we haven't noticed. Instead of David DeCastro and Maurkice Pouncey, he's working with a third-round rookie and a fourth-round tackle, the first one being the center. That's a lot to make up, quickly. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen progress, which is really how I would evaluate a coach, especially in the situation that Adrian Klemm is in. They've got a really tough hill to climb. I'm not sure many teams in the NFL, without having dived into it very deeply, I'm not sure many teams in the NFL have as tough an offensive line assignment for their coaching staff as the Steelers do. And they knew that.
Right.
They knew that going into it. None of this, well, with the exception of Banner, who, let's be honest, they had probably, there was definitely a possibility that he might miss time early. But having to go to battle as the first team, and I've looked this up, the first team since at least 1970, because records weren't kept before that, to start as a season with a left tackle who was drafted in the fourth round or later. The only team to do that, that's your 2021 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
And to be honest with you, he looks like a backup tight end, not a left tackle. He's not having a good season. They need to get him out of there as quickly as humanly possible. And I'm not sure Chukwuma Okorafor was doing much on the right side anyway. Joe Haig came in and played, you know, either the game of his life or what you would expect your right tackle to play, and the rest of the line improved. So I think there are personnel issues that the coaches need to figure out, and there's also a natural level of improvement that's going to come the more reps that they get. And that part, I think, is more reasonable to count on. They will improve as the year goes on. This is not a Super Bowl contending team. I never thought that it was. Frankly, if people did, that's on them. You know, there's no reason they really should have thought that. Getting a good amount of improvement over a line that has to probably, again, make some changes next year, but setting up a foundation again on their offensive line is paramount to pretty much anything else they do during this season. If they can get that unit to, again, perform at a high level with what they have, things are going to go much, much smoother next year. And I think that's what they're trying to do.
All right, so now I'll transition back to Ben as promised. Again, he does this thing where it's Ben Roethlisberger's always been, look, down the field, you know, unless he has Antonio Brown, okay? I got that. I mean, the biggest difference between, you know, everybody in their prime, Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Brown, what made Antonio Brown the far superior receiver is he could take that short cross and turn it into a 60-yard play. Odell Beckham Jr. never does that. He'll take a short play, and guess what? He gets hit right away, okay? Ben goes short to Juju Smith-Schuster on a fourth down play. What are you doing? Okay, I go back to, like, that's what I expect, you know, Taylor Heinicke to do.
I would, I'm choosing my words carefully here, but I think that's a good comparison. The thing I can't get over is, and I said this, and probably was made a fool of by our collective audience here, all of last year, this is a team that strength is running after the catch.
Yep.
It's been 17 games last year. You're through four this year. 21 games. I don't know how I can continue to say that because nobody is going anywhere after the catch. Nobody is making plays after the catch.
No.
To even suggest anything is even close to Antonio Brown is laughable. They don't have an offense because their offense is built for something that they can't do. And to the point with me, it's like that's the last fortress. They don't have anything else to put their hat on. I don't know what this offense can do. I know that they really can't do a lot of things. If they can't run after the catch, if they can't set each other up, if they're not running combo routes to get somebody free with a chance to make a play up the field, they really can't do anything. They're not running the ball. You know, it's a watermark day for Najee Harris because he gained 61 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
It's been, 17 consecutive games without 100 yards rushing.
Right.
That's a miserable statistic.
But I thought he was supposed to solve this whole thing.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen now. I mean, from what we've seen, you know, maybe giving him more than 15 carries would break that streak. I'm just not sure how connected that streak is to winning.
Right.
I know this as well. How many times did we hear this offseason the Steelers saying, or Ben himself saying, part of the reason he fell apart at the end of last season is because he had to throw through training camp, and then they threw a bunch last year. They spent the entire offseason revamping the run game. Ben Roethlisberger has 169 pass attempts through four games. And he has 98 of them in the last 2 weeks. Where's this ship heading right now? What's going to happen here? You're still not running the ball. You're still not running the ball successfully. And your quarterback, who didn't get younger from last year and fell apart at the end of the season, is clearly headed in that direction now.
Right.
So I don't think you need to bench Ben Roethlisberger. I think nature's going to take care of that at the pace that they're on.
Right.
He's hurt again. He had a pec injury last week. It's a hip injury now.
Yep.
He's not going to be able to hold this up. It's that simple.
What has this now done to the margin of error that this defense must play under?
Oh, they're way past that. They're 10 miles north of margin of error. I mean, they're going to have to produce. I didn't give them much of a chance anyway, just because we saw this so often. When you have an Aaron Rodgers on the field, and I think you are able to see this more clearly when you don't have a good quarterback of the team that you're watching.
Right.
Rodgers, there's so many times in that game, he was just doing whatever he wanted to do. He was just toying with the defense.
Yeah.
They would do one thing that didn't really work. You could tell they're going to come back to this with a variation on it, and they would. A couple crossers over the middle, they barely missed on one.
Right.
They hit it twice in the second half, from what I recall.
Yeah.
And the worst part of it is, Rodgers was completely dominant, completely in control of that game, and he didn't have a great game.
No.
He really didn't. He missed on a couple. It was like, ooh, Aaron, you could tell too. He was yanking his chin strap off in frustration. He didn't have an outstanding Aaron Rodgers game,
mm-hmm.
but he was so far above and beyond the opposing quarterback and the opposing offense. It was a scrimmage to him.
Yep.
The Steelers defense couldn't hold up with that at all. They really couldn't. TJ Watt had, without question, the most overrated 2-sack game I've ever seen in my life. They negated him entirely. He tripped Rodgers on one, and he fell on him at the end of the game on another. They were toothless beyond that. I think that they could have been a lot sharper against the run than they were, but Rodgers had little to worry about that entire game. And if he was better, they would have scored 40.
Yeah. All right. So now where to from here? I think they've got a shot this weekend. What do you think?
I don't think Denver is a great team.
I think
Denver, you know, coincidentally, I think
okay.
Denver is they're a team that's also trying to transition this season so they can go make a run at Aaron Rodgers next season, which is what I think is going to happen. I wouldn't blame them at all. I think that's exactly the move that they would want to make, and I think it makes them an immediate contender in the AFC. They're building. They've got a lot of young, good parts there. They don't really have the difference-making quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater has done a pretty good job. I believe he's hurt, right? Because Locke is probably going to start. Is that I haven't done my early research on it yet.
I think Drew Locke is starting the game. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater can make it.
And we've seen Drew Locke. They hurt him last year. I think they took him down, I think, like in the first quarter last season, the game against him. Denver still almost came back and won. I don't think Denver is much different than Pittsburgh is. They're just probably better. And with that, I don't think they're unbeatable. I think you saw a lot of things that they can do, pretty well defensively. I thought Baltimore had, pretty easy job for them defensively, and offensively, they could have just, run them out the way they've done a lot of people. Denver's defense, I thought, did a pretty remarkable job of holding them down. They can play defensive football. They're not a high level team though. It's a gut check game for we're talking getting into the point of future jobs for players and coaches now. That's where Pittsburgh's season is. And guys are going to start playing with some pride, and you're going to need to step it up. This isn't a team that's gone worse than 2-6 over their first 8 games, and I don't know how long, but we're smelling that territory now. They're not far from there. If they're going to avoid that, this is the game that they need to win. Seattle's a reasonably decent team as well. After that, you got a bye. And then some pretty good divisional games. So they're going to have to figure this out and try to put some momentum together.
All right. One final question about that. And you know me, I don't like to – I'm not big on, hanging somebody's job out to dry. I'm not big on that. But is there some talk in Pittsburgh about – because Kevin Colbert assembled this team. Is there some talk about his job performance?
I think there's always a conversation about how your general manager put the team together, but I've been saying this, they are not looking right now at a lens of a single season. They're never going to tell you that.
Right.
That is never going to be said publicly. They have
Agreed.
Tickets to sell. They have a reputation.
That's right.
But no move that they've made at this point suggests they're honestly thinking that they're a Super Bowl caliber team. There is not a single move that they made this offseason that suggests that. People talk about they loaded up for Ben one more time. Ben took a pay cut. Yeah. Okay, they didn't load up for Ben. The only way Ben was coming back is if he took less money. That's what they valued him at. They didn't add Juju. Keeping Juju for a year is probably more. They had an advantage of dollars against the market, but clearly that's not working out all that well. You sign Melvin Ingram because you don't know what's going to happen with T.J. Watt at that point. He could have held out for all you knew, and you wouldn't have had anybody else. They didn't make a move this offseason that suggested to me at all they're going in to compete now. They are building a team out for the next 2 years, 3 years down, which is exactly why they gave Colbert, as well as Mike Tomlin, four-year contract extensions in the offseason. The Steelers don't announce the length of their contract extensions. They barely even announce extensions for the coaches, the GM. They're doing that for a reason. They are setting up the expectation for a team that has to make some moves that are not going to be great in year one, but they're going to get better if they do it the right way. And to be honest, I think they're doing a great job of that. I think they put the right players in the right places. They're just not going to be good enough right now. You don't want as many rookies starting as they have. You know, I like Trey Norwood as a player. Was he your dime back when you, or your nickel back when you drafted him in the seventh round? Right. Did you know that you had to do that? There's no way. Right. He had to take that job because he's a young guy that has to step up and play. They have a lot of those on this team right now, and you don't typically win when you have five rookies playing significant snaps for you in a season.
My friend, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.